girl went back to Napoli because she missed the scenery, the native dances and the charming songs. But wait a minute, something's wrong. Mambo Italiano, mambo.
Welcome back. That's Rosemary Clooney. And we're playing that because on this day in 1955, this was the number one hit for her in the United Kingdom, the Mambo Italiano. And the song was banned by all the ABC-owned stations in the United States because it didn't reach standards of good taste. And what do we play today? Okay, so so we thought we'd play that, as we always play music interludes here that have to do with dates in history for our music and musicians. I'm reminding you on the way to this conversation that you listen to the Mark Steiner Show here on WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. And support for WEAA is provided by Radio Shack. And support for the Mark Steiner Show is provided by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you. For more information, www.mecu.com, or you can go to steinershow.org, click on MeQ, Baltimore's credit union's banner at the top of our page. We are now about to start a conversation with the interim CEO for Baltimore City Schools, Tisha Edwards. And Ms. Edwards, welcome. Good to have you in the studio.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It's been a long time. Good to have you here.
It has been.
You all can join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. And we already have an email coming in for Tisha Edwards. You can write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Tweet us at Mark Steiner. I will check our Facebook pages, see if you've logged on there. But call us, 410-319-8888. So it's good to have you in the studio.
Thank you.
Let me begin. Yesterday, Arnie Duncan and Attorney General Holder were in Baltimore.
Yes.
At Frederick Douglass High School.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. It was a great day in Baltimore. We've been real trailblazers around reducing suspensions in our schools. Back in 2004, we had over 26,000 suspensions in Baltimore City schools, which was startling. And as of last year, we've gotten that down to about 8,000, which is like a 67% decline. This is a body of work that we've been working on for a very long time. We really believe that it's really important to hold children to high standards, but having them out of school is not necessarily the best way to prepare them to make better choices and to be great citizens in their school community. So we're a real trailblazer in this work, and it was wonderful for the Department of Education to recognize Baltimore.
Taking that a step further, because I know that this is how important this is. I covered years ago when we first started a show in 1993, when we were visiting Lombard Middle School over on the east side.
Mm-hmm.
They had this federal money to do an in-school suspension program that cut down the violence in school, but it was actually run by social workers who came in to work with the kids, and they did their coursework in that room until they could go back to the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And it became successful because it was a structured model
that
addressed it. So, A, I'm curious a couple things. A is, how do you install and what it costs to install structured models like that? And B, one of the things that happened yesterday at Douglass High School was that at least I think it was the attorney general, I forget which one said it, but they were enamored of the peer-to-peer mentoring program that exists at Douglass. And this mentoring piece is something that is so critical. We need to have this at all levels in our society, in criminal justice and everywhere else. But and what it takes, when you look at things like mentoring programs at Douglass or what the Baltimore Urban Debate Leagues have done in certain schools in the city, what those structures do to empower kids to change their lives and the lives of others, what does it take to make that universal?
So I think that our numbers show that we are taking this work to scale. It looks very different in different schools. There are in-school suspension models where we have a trained staff who support students. We also have some great schools that are doing some cutting-edge work around restorative justice practices, which I'm a strong proponent of. And as you said, peer mentoring is a wonderful way of having peers hold each other accountable for their behavior. So I think the reason that the U.S. Department of Education came to Baltimore is because Baltimore is an urban school district that has taken this issue very seriously. We have taken this work to scale. When you talk about cost, what we do know is it's much more costly to have children out of school. We feel like suspensions is a pipeline to prison, and we understand that. And so our principals are really, really putting forth some really innovative ways to fund those types of initiatives, the partnerships with Baltimore Urban Debate League, as you said, and other partners across the city have really been wonderful with us to help address this really important issue.
But what do you think it takes, though, to do, what you said, you used the term, bring it to scale, before we move to another subject and go to the phones here, people are calling in at 410-319-8888. What does it take to take it to scale? What does it take for every school in Baltimore to have peer-to-peer mentoring or have the kind of therapeutic counselors that are there to work with kids who are in trouble?
So the first thing it takes is a decision that this is important. It takes leadership. And once the leadership, both in the district office and in our individual schools, we made the decision, this is important. So once we decided that we needed to have a new way of engaging children who were struggling, what that unearths is lots of different ways to do that in schools that are reflective of the needs of the particular school community. And so taking it to scale takes partnerships. Taking it to scale takes will, and absolutely it takes a dedication of a set of resources.
Money.
Absolutely. nothing in education is free, unfortunately.
Right. Right.
It does take resources, but once you make something a priority, you're willing to invest, and it was the right thing to do. And as a result of those investments, we're a national leader in this work.
410-319-8888 is the number here. We can set of headphones in here, I think. But you don't have headphones, do you? You have headphones. I apologize. There are headphones here. Never mind. I take that back. Let's go to the phones at 410-319-8888. Hear your thoughts and questions for Tisha Edwards, who is the interim CEO of Baltimore City Public Schools. And Destiny, you're on the air.
Good morning, Ms. Edwards. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Destiny. Welcome.
Good morning.
I was calling in about an issue that's going on in my community that's related to schools. And that issue is there's a plan to build the nation's largest trash burning incinerator less than a mile away from the elementary school that my little brother and nephew go to.
And what school is that?
School. Curtis Bay Elementary School in
okay.
Curtis Bay. In Benjamin Franklin High School. And first, I just wanted to know if you knew about the project. And second, I wanted to know if you were aware that Baltimore City Public Schools is supporting the incinerator by purchasing electricity from the company Energy Answers.
And Destiny has come on the show before, we've also been following up. Greg has written in. Greg writes in, this is connected. Greg writes in, this is Greg Sautel from United Workers. I'm working with students at Ben Franklin High School to stop the nation's largest trash-burning incinerator from being built in their community. I understand Tisha Edwards will be on the show at 10 a.m., and it would be great to have a chance to ask a question about the contract the school signed with the incinerator company to purchase electricity. We'd love to know if she is aware of the agreement and if she would be willing to find time to meet with students and concerned citizens to discuss the issue.
Absolutely. This is something that the community is concerned about. I would love to have more conversations about it. I don't know all of the details related to this particular issue. If there was a contract executed, it was probably out of our operations department, so I need to go back and talk to some folks about that. But yes, I accept the invitation to learn more about what's happening, how the community is impacted by this particular issue, and I would love to come and talk about it. So, yes, I accept the invitation.
Destiny, does that answer your question? You still with us? She's still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Did that answer what you wanted to hear?
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right,
thank you for calling in, Destiny.
Before we go back to the phones, a lot of people are calling in. We will get these calls as soon as I see who you are at 410-319-8888, and I will log on to Facebook at the break here to see who's been writing in. One of the things I want to raise to you, and this is a completely complex subject because it says a lot. We've been covering the EBDI development pretty intensely for the last bunch of years here on the show. And the Henderson School that the Morgan State University School of Education is involved with, the Hopkins School of Education is involved with, is opened in that East Side redevelopment neighborhood. And tens of millions of dollars have been funded, put into this school by Hopkins and other places to make this state-of-the-art school. And it just raised so many issues for me, and I just want to see what you think. Because, folks, if you don't know about this, this is part of the East Baltimore development with Hopkins that people have argued have displaced a lot of people. Was building this Henderson School. And the school was supposed to attract community residents and Hopkins employees' kids to create this multi-economic class, multiracial institution on the east side of town that would be the most stellar school around. And it may become that because of all the money. I mean, every school has – every classroom has iPads and has all this interactive stuff. It's just an amazing place. But a couple of things. One, a lot of residents have said – we can't get into the school. Here we have this multi-million-dollar incredible institution there in front of us, and we're not given first choice. Other people are given first choice. Mm-hmm. What is that? Does that – that first of all, rubbed me the wrong way. It didn't make much sense to me. You know, I can see being a working-class, poor African-American family living in a neighborhood a block from the school, and I have to send my kid to a school that needs to be rebuilt with this new money – and I'm watching this place right across from me.
So a couple of things. I am really excited for any child that has the opportunity to go to a wonderful state-of-the-art
Amen.
School.
I'm not saying yes.
And Baltimore is going to build 30 or 35 of those. So there will be more of those to come.
Like Henderson?
There will be more wonderful state-of-the-art schools in Baltimore City. We're going to have some amazing schools for our children. And so hopefully this will address some of the issue that many of our parents are facing when you don't have enough of something. We need more of that, right? And our children deserve that. So we have a $1 billion construction program where over 7 years we're going to build 30 to 35 wonderful new state-of-the-art amazing schools across this city. So hopefully Elmer Henderson Hopkins won't be the only game in town a few years from now. So I'm very excited about that. But as it relates to students having access to that particular school, this was, as you said, a part of an agreement from EBDI and Johns Hopkins Development that happened several years ago.
Before you...
Absolutely, right, several years ago. And this is supposed to be a project that is supposed to be part of a larger community revitalization effort. And we understand that not every child in East Baltimore can attend that one school. And that's why we need to have more of them. But what ends up happening in the challenges is that the zone for the school has to cut off somewhere. And no matter where that cutoff is, there's going to be some child that is outside of that zone. It is a school that I think that they are trying to develop that definitely serves children in the community. But it is also a school where they want employees, all employees of Hopkins, to also have access to it. So it has multiple purposes. And we sympathize with the parents who've said, I want to be at that school. But as interim CEO, my response to that is, I'm going to build you another school. And we don't have to all clamor to get into this one great school because the cutoff has to be somewhere. And no matter where that is, that's going to create a challenge.
Well, two things about this. Again, just before we move into a new subject. And folks, we lost some of these calls. Please call back at 410-319-8888. We want to get your thoughts in here, your questions for Ms. Tisha Edwards, who is the interim CEO of our Baltimore City Public Schools, 410-319-8888. Please write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. These are the schools that you're working in. These are the schools that your kids are going to. And we want to hear your thoughts, 410-319-8888. A couple of things that struck me about this was the kind of money being invested in this school is the kind of money that gets invested at Gilman and at Friends and at the kind of schools, the private schools that are so prevalent in this community mm-hmm. for the more well-off in uh-huh. our community.
Mm-hmm.
They have also chosen to use Success for All by Slavin as the core curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
That is a curriculum that's been ignored by the city schools for a long time that many schools around the country have picked up.
Oh, I have new news for you in that regard.
Well,
that is not necessarily
true. What is
true.
The news?
We actually have 19 schools that are implementing Success for All for this year. We have several principals across the school district that were very interested in this model. We had only a few several years ago, but this year we're up to 19 schools. This is our first year of implementation at that degree of scale, so we're monitoring it. But we do have several schools within the district, as I said, 19, that are using the Success for All model, and we're hopeful that that is going to be a curriculum that can really yield some wonderful student achievement outcomes for the children of Baltimore. But again, we're in the first year of implementation. We have expanded use of Success for All, and so we're very, very optimistic about that partnership.
I mean, that I know that years ago when we started covering the school system, when I first went in the air in 93, that became an issue. Robert Slavin right here locally doing all this work, and then nobody paid attention to him here, and he was in every other school system in America except right in our own in our own city. And I also – this also leads to one last thing about Henderson before we move on to some of the other issues we're facing. Is that to build schools like Henderson costs a lot of money.
Yes.
So the battle to get this $1 billion, or $2.5 billion.
The total cost of the project to renovate or replace every school in the city is closer. It's about $2.4 billion.
Right.
We received $1 billion to start with the first 30.
So that – and therein also lies some community angst because people say, well, why are you building this school and not that school and – You know, and that because you didn't get the whole pie.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
So there has to be a fight to get this whole pie.
Well, no, we're not fighting. We're actually working very collaboratively. No fighting at City Schools. We're a safe school.
Don't like to use that
Remember
terminology.
That? Okay. We're safe. Arnie Duncan just told you that. Listen, Waverly just opened right after the holiday break. You need to go see that school. It's amazing. It is a school built with city school dollars, and unlike the Hopkins project, and I think Waverly is going to set an example of the framework that we're going to be using across the city. I just got an email from that principal this morning that said to me, "I can't wait till you come see our new school. We're so excited." It's beautiful. We've built Leaf Walk recently. Have you been in the Baltimore Design School? Amazing.
That's an amazing school. And Leaf Walk is where one of my daughters went to Leaf Walk years back.
So that's what. So we're doing good. And so Elmer Henderson Hopkins is amazing, wonderful. We need more of that. Every child in this city deserves to be in a state of the art school, because they're going to need a state-of-the-art education.
That's the good jumping-off point here. And folks, the phones where it's me today, but you need to be in this conversation. These are your schools. These are our children. We have questions that have to be answered at 410-319-8888. SignerShow@gmail.com is the place to join us as well. Or log on to our Facebook pages. The National Assessment of Educational Progress.
Yes. NAEP.
Dr. Andres Alonso made the decision to participate in this voluntarily with a bunch of other cities around America. 14% of our fourth graders, only 16% of our eighth graders were performing at grade level. And on the math exam was 13% and 19% respectively, which means 4 out of 5 of our kids don't have the basic skills to understand numbers and reading. So that's pretty bad. I mean, that's sad. That's mm-hmm. unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that. I mean, what is it? I'd like to get your analysis of why and what you as interim CEO can do to turn that ship around. The ship began to turn under Andres Alonso, but clearly
there's more work to do.
A lot more work to
Absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely. Yes. So, yes, we did make the decision to administer the NAEP assessment in 2009, and that is what we consider to be our baseline year. And the reason we made the decision voluntarily to engage in the NAEP assessment process is because we knew that we wanted to really raise the standards for teaching and learning in our schools, and we needed an assessment to help us raise that bar. And we have a desire for Baltimore City's children to be not only nationally competitive, but internationally competitive. And although the scores are not what any of us would like for them to be, you can't begin that journey of being better unless you have a baseline to start working from and unless you're really honest about where there are gaps. If you're not honest about that, you don't move forward. So it was a very courageous step for us to voluntarily move into this national assessment model when we knew that it was going to paint a picture of many of our children's not being at the grade level where they should be. That being said, we are a school district that is working very hard, and we are very committed to raising the standards of achievement for our children. It is a journey. It is not something that happens in a year. It's not something that happens in 2 years. It is a commitment to excellence. And excellence is a process. And so the scores do point to what we call the new level of proficiency. It shows us that we have a long way to go around what happens in our classrooms every day, but we're committed to getting there. And we're just asking partners to continue to work with us and invest in that process. And we're asking the public to give us the space to grow. Baltimore's story has always been a story of progress, and progress takes time. So you're right. It's not where it needs to be. But we're investing heavily in our teacher development. We have lots of work that we're doing around our curriculum to raise the standards. And I think that we are going to really get to a point where we're going to really turn around what's happening in teaching and learning in our schools. But it is a process, Mark.
So let me tell you, before we go to Brian as our first caller, please hold on, 410-319-8888. I really want to talk about what that means in more detail, Tisha.
Please.
I mean, when Baltimore is one of the five of I think, six schools that showed a rise in test scores on the Snape test in reading.
In
eighth grade, and still only like 14% or whatever that number was, 18%. And then it didn't make that grade for math. But then you look at what's going on around the country and the percentage of students who passed and didn't pass, that most schools that are full of poor and working class kids didn't do that well.
Right.
I mean, it's not like Baltimore didn't do well, but other schools did what they did well. I mean, you're talking
There's
about
a national disparity.
So tell me what that's. No CEO or superintendent before any I've interviewed all these years has been able to talk about what it takes to turn that around. What can you do it in a school system like Baltimore's or Washington's or Detroit's or L.A.'s in kind of a segregated by class and race? Those are issues that are part of this, right?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, how do you address that? We're talking about our children and our future here.
Yes. So this is the thing that really gets me excited, Mark. And yes, it can be done. But I do think, and I've said this in many, many, many forums that I've been in, the way we've got to totally rethink how we teach children and how we engage them in an educational process. Public education, in my opinion, is way too narrowly defined. It's about preparing for the assessment. That is not what gets children excited. That's not what gets teachers excited.
Amen.
The way that you get children and teachers and parents excited is having an educational process that is multidimensional and multifaceted. I need Baltimore's children going to museums. I need Baltimore's children being mentored. I need Baltimore's children having the opportunity to be introduced to people in professions so they can understand why. It's very hard to get motivated about something if you don't know why you're doing it. We need to bring context and relevancy to what we do on a daily basis. Schools should be a joyful place, joyfully learning around really complex ideas. And that's not what's happening enough in our schools. And that takes a whole different mindset about how you engage around learning. You as a father and a grandfather, you've never decided the value of your children by basic, proficient, or advanced.
Right. Exactly.
What you do is you have a relationship with your child where you find out what gets them going. And you use that as an opportunity to teach them and to expose them to the world in a really, really dynamic way. And that's hard to do. That's hard to put in place. But until we start making education look like that and feel like that for our children, we're going to miss the boat. We're going to have that disparity. Our children, my child, I learned by doing, by exposure, by connection, by understanding the relevancy of what I was doing, and we're not having those conversations in public education in the way that we should. And that's what it's going to take. And I don't want to get on my soapbox about this, Mark, but what I've said to people over and over again is that Baltimore will only get to a certain level if we make it about the test. If we are putting test prep, if we are obsessing about the test, we've got to expand the conversation. There needs to be arts. There needs to be more enrichment activities. There needs to be sports. Those are all the things that create opportunities for learning in and outside of the classroom, in math, in science, in social studies, in English, but also learning through other experiences. And that's what I would like to bring to Baltimore.
We're going to take a short break and come right
yes.
back. We have some questions, kind of probably even further what that means concretely with some of the other stuff going on. We're going to go out with Joan Baez here. Here's to you. This is her birthday. She was born in 1941 on this day. Brian and Jennifer, you're the first two callers up. We're going to come right back to your call, Brian, and then to Jennifer. Stay with us. Great Cozy Cole, great drummer, died on this day in 1981, born in 1909. Play a little of his style. I love Cozy Cole. Anyway, we're not talking about Cozy Cole. We're talking about Baltimore City Education. Tisha Edwards, the interim CEO for our Baltimore Public Schools, is here with us, 410-319-8888. Let's go right to the phones, as I promised. And, Brian, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
I was calling in to ask about your desire to seek a full term as the regular superintendent, and I wanted to ask about your philosophy guiding the school and guiding the school system and the children in our community. And I was very pleased to hear you get on your soapbox because up until that point, I've been listening to a lot of administrivia. I've been a professional educator for the last 30 years, and I've been working in the Baltimore metropolitan area in the public school system for most of that time. And I've been listening to how good of an administrator you are, and it seems as though you have said all the right things. But I didn't hear anything about your passion and your philosophy of how we really educate the children, because that's what school systems are about. They're about educating children and moving people forward. And to hear you give that passionate rendition of basically an argument for culturally relevant pedagogy, where we have to look at the relevancy and the culture of our students and
Absolutely.
Really know them
mm-hmm.
is the essence of my educational philosophy and where I come from. And but getting to a more specific question, I think Mark Stein is going to, before he went to the break, mentioned that he may ask some questions in the same room. My question at this point is how do we instill, how do we put into a systematic structure that type of an educational environment where we train the educators, where we put the system and have a curriculum in place
mm-hmm.
that values the students, that makes what they want to know coincide with what they need and make the education something that make their learning experiences something that they come to want to do, mm-hmm. something that they, man, I want, we're going to do this today in so-and-so class, or it's school today, we're doing this, I can't wait to get there. Oh, we got to leave already? Class mm-hmm. is over?
Right.
How do we put those kinds of, what plans do you have? What concrete systems would you put into place to make sure that that happens, as you said, in many more instances, in many more schools throughout our system, so our children can have a chance in this world, so that they can have a chance?
Tisha Edwards, thank you, Brian. Tisha?
So thank you for your comments, and thank you for validating my passion, because sometimes you wonder if it's something that connects with other people. But you're dead spot on. How do you take a set of expectations around relevancy? How is relevancy defined for this community and for this age group of children? Listen, our children are digital natives, and one of the things that we have to do is introduce the kinds of tools that allows them to bring in a diverse set of information to get to a particular content standard, so that information isn't teacher-directed, it's based on the student's interest. And technology really has the opportunity to totally transform this issue of relevancy in the classroom. And so in order for our classrooms to reflect the individual needs of our children in an age-appropriate way, in a demographically appropriate way, I think that there's wonderful opportunity that we haven't had through technology. Also, teacher training and widening the conversation with our teachers and with our educators and encouraging them to listen to kids, to take their cues from our students around what's important to them, and making sure that we're teaching subject content that is reflective of today's reality. Again, a great tool of doing that is through all of the wonderful opportunities that technology brings. But it starts with leadership. You have to start saying that it's okay to have these conversations and that this is an appropriate way of approaching education in this city. We've got to agree that we're all okay with that. And then you have to have standards for systematizing it and protocols for systematizing it. But it is a real culture shift for the district, and it's something that I'm very passionate about. I have two sons who are Baltimore City. One is a graduate and one is in Baltimore City schools now. And I do this work from the perspective of what would I want for them? What do I know gets them excited? And I'm always looking at what they're bringing home and asking my son, does this make sense to you in the world that you live in? And I'm always trying to make those connections for him. It's hard work. There's nothing easy about doing what I envision needs to be done for our children, but I think that we can get there.
Let's go back to the phones before I jump in with a couple more questions. A bunch of people have called in, 410-319-8888. Jennifer, you're on the air. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jennifer.
How are you?
Very well. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
Hi, Tisha. How are you doing?
Hi.
That's good. Hi. The first thing I want to do is applaud you for all the efforts that you've been doing this year. I read an article about you being in the top 50 most watched women. So I think I know you're doing an excellent job.
Thank you.
And my question is, I believe that right now, like, we're in a state of emergency when it comes to urban education.
Mm-hmm.
And with that being said, I want to know how is Baltimore City Public Schools preparing teachers to instruct the kids from the community, like kids with issues such as hungry, uninterest, lacking motivation? Because I have a son. He's only two right now. And my two cousins just graduated from Baltimore City Public Schools. So we're talking a while for when my son gets there, but I just want to make sure that I know what's going on, like what I'm putting him in and mm-hmm. what's going to be ahead of me for him.
Mm-hmm. So I think you're, again, spot on, Jennifer. This is another thing I'm really passionate about is what I call supporting the whole child and making sure that we meet all the needs of our children. I'm a very big proponent of breakfast after the bell. I think that we have Baltimore is a school system where we're at about 86% poverty. We have a real problem.
That's a huge number. 86%
of our children
live in poverty.
Are free or reduced lunch children.
Right.
And I know I'm grumpy when I haven't eaten, and I lack motivation if I haven't had my vegetables and fruits for the day. And so I think that applies for children, too. And so we have universal breakfast in Baltimore where every child is eligible for a free breakfast in the city, and we need to be really pushing that and making parents aware that that resource is available to you. And I think that we can get more children access to better breakfast if that happened after the bell. And I think that that will also help to deal with motivation and energy levels for children. So there are all kinds of initiatives. I do think that many of our children are struggling with all kinds of issues, and they need to have support in place. I'm a big proponent of having social workers, psychologists, and other support people in school to help children. Everybody goes through tough times, and we need to make sure that resources are available to our kids and their families when those tough times emerge. The school should be a place where you can go and get help. And so I want to see that for our children and for our boys. And I'm so excited that you are already thinking for your son who's two. I'm so excited that you're already trying to make sure that this school system is equipped to be able to meet his needs. We need to make sure that we have as many enrichment opportunities for children as possible. I strongly believe that children are motivated when they are doing things that bring them joy and where they get to have fun and learn with their peers outside of a classroom construct. And I think that's particularly true for all kids, but boys definitely. And so we need to make sure that we have as many enrichment and sports activities and clubs and just opportunities for children to get to find their sense of purpose, what they're really good at. And then you as a parent can use that to help keep them motivated in school. Once you know he loves to play the drums, or he loves to give speeches, or he loves to write poetry, then school can be a place where you can bring that connection between his love and his passion and the opportunity to learn and grow. And that's what a school should be for our children. And that's the dream that I have for Baltimore City.
So let me ask you, before we go, Vonda, you are our next caller. I'm going to come to your call, Vonda, in just a few minutes. But there are a couple of things that came up that I think are important to kind of wrestle with that are really hard as well. You know, we've had this 14% increase in young people graduating from our school system, which is a wonderful number. The numbers of kids going to college has dropped. But what that calls into question is, and I'm one of those people who thinks that every child has to go to college to make a living in this world, or to make his or her way in this world. But what it does say is that, so are our kids getting diplomas, and are they really prepared to address what comes next? If not, why not? What do you do? And does that mean that, with all due respect, have we dumbed down our whatever requirements people have to get a diploma? Mm-hmm. So it raises our diploma rate but doesn't raise the rate of what children understand and what skills they have when they leave? And if that's the case, then what are we doing and what do we do?
So we are very proud of the fact that we were able to raise the graduation rate in Baltimore to 71%, and that is a dramatic increase from where we were 6 years ago. And that's something that we're very proud of. And, you know, I do not think that we've dumbed down the standards, but I do think that we've learned that we've got to continue to raise the standards. The children who received a diploma in Baltimore City met the same standards as the children in Montgomery County and the same children as standards as the children in Baltimore County. So Baltimore City did not dumb down what it takes to get a diploma. The state makes the decision about the standard, and our children have met that standard, okay. And we're very proud of them. That being said, we are in a totally different world order and economy around what it means to be able to be a self-sufficient citizen in this country. And the skill sets and the demands on the workforce, the readiness for college are continuing to increase. And Baltimore City and public education as a whole also has to raise its standards so that the children can meet the demands of what we call, quote unquote, the real world. It's not getting any easier for anybody. It's getting much more complex. And so we think that our work that we're doing around implementing the Common Core, we have right now, Mark, I'm really proud, I have 1,000 children in the 11th and 12th grade that are college ready right now. They've passed all of their HSAs. They have a 94% attendance rate, and they have at least a 2.5 GPA. Those children are ready and eligible right now to take junior college classes. So we're doing some great things. Are we where we need to be? No.
People anecdotally, and it's been studies about this too, but anecdotally, people have who teach at BCCC and CCCB invariably say to me that kids coming out of Baltimore City schools, and they didn't say the same thing about all the kids coming out of county schools or Howard County or wherever mm-hmm. else, but Baltimore City school students have to go into remedial classes when they graduate and then go take courses at BCC and mm-hmm. CCCB. And I'm not saying every student, mm-hmm. but a huge number of kids. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's, I think...
That's the gap we need to close, that we need to make sure that our children, that we bridge the gap between what it means to have a high school diploma and what it means to be college ready. And there are many ways that that needs to happen. We need to make sure that our children have access to AP classes. We need to make sure that our children... know what the things that they want to do and why it's important to be proficient in math and make a commitment to those things. We've got to shift our college going culture in the district, and we've got to raise the level of instruction in every classroom in Baltimore City. That is a fact. But that being said, there are many, many children who are graduating from our school system, my son being one, who was very prepared to go to college and to do well, and that he is a product of this school system and what is possible in our schools. And what has happened for me and for my children is the same exact thing that needs to happen for every single child in this city. And we are completely committed to doing the hard work to get there. But I cannot sit here and tell you, Mark, that there's not a long way to go. And there's not a gap that needs to be closed. But I do think that there's a lot of great things happening in Baltimore City that the city just doesn't get credit for.
I don't disagree with that.
Okay, good. There's no disagreeing on Thursdays. But yes, you are right. We've got to make sure that those
no disagreements
no disagreements on Thursday. But we do need to make sure that when a child gets a diploma, we have a promise that we need to make to our children. And when a child gets a diploma, that diploma should mean that you are ready for to enter the workforce or to go to college, and that you have the skills that you need to be successful.
So what are the particular things that have to be put in place to make sure that changes, that kids do get to a certain place? I mean, one of the stats I read was 22% of our kids are chronically absent.
Oh, gosh, yes.
That's a huge number of young people.
Yes.
Not in school.
Yes.
So, I mean, so you're CEO. So what are the systems you put in place to, A, to address that, and B, that you know, when you have this system where we created where every principal makes his or her own decisions about these things, and then you have policies you want to implement, isn't there a contradiction there in terms of trying to build a system?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No disagreement on Thursday. I think that, and this is why principal-level autonomy is so important, and we just had this conversation about chronic absenteeism in central office yesterday and talking to all of our district leaders about the work that we must do to help parents understand the importance of children being in school. Chronic absenteeism there are lots of barriers to that. It can be about transportation. It can be about health barriers that a parent or a child can be facing. It can have things to do with family structure. It can have things to do with the fact that a kid is going to a classroom and doesn't feel comfortable in that classroom, and so they have anxiety about going to school every day. But when you're working with children, it really requires you to know your children, and it really requires education is so much about the engagement of the family and the engagement of the children around the educational process. And we found, Mark, which was surprising to me, that we had a huge chronic absenteeism problem in pre-K and kindergarten. That's not a kid making a decision not to go to school. Last year, we had a 23% chronic absenteeism rate just in the early grades.
Wow.
So if that's happening, everybody thinks it's a high school problem. And there are some challenges in high school. But sometimes parents, we haven't educated parents that pre-K is not daycare. And it's really important that if the cable man is coming and you can't leave because you're being held hostage by the cable man, I still need you to bring your child to school. And that's kind of an attitudinal shift. Some of our children deal with issues like asthma, chronic asthma, and parents are using the emergency room for health care. And so that's a day-long experience instead of being able to take children to a doctor for a 30-minute exam.
Yes.
So it's those kinds of things. The chronic absenteeism issue is a community issue. We all have to work together about the importance of going to school every day. I need to say publicly how thankful I am to our mayor, Stephanie Rawlins-Blake, for joining us in trying to address this issue of chronic absenteeism and bringing this to the forefront, and all of the partners in Baltimore City. But you're right. If kids are not in school, they are not going to learn. And what we know in Baltimore City for a fact is the biggest achievement gap, the difference between the children that do get a quality diploma and those that don't, are the children who come to school every day. And so we've got to address that, and it's a multifaceted, very complex issue, but we're going to hit this one really, really hard, especially the second part of the school year.
Let me get back to the phones here, at least try to get one or two callers in before the end of the hour. 410-319-8888. Vonda, you're on the air. Welcome.
Brian.
Welcome.
Hello,
Vonda. You're on the
Edwards.
Air.
Thank you. Hello, Brian. Hello, Tisha Edwards.
Hi.
Let me begin with saying thank you for your passion for the children of Baltimore City Public Schools. I am currently a grandmother, a very proud grandmother of grandchildren, as well as children who matriculated through the Baltimore City Public School System. One of the things I'd like to say thank you also for your passion for preparing the children and having those children to become prepared and college ready. My question to you is, what, if any, plans do you have to address issues preparing teachers? I do understand and appreciate the notion that children need to be prepared.
Absolutely.
But I think also the issue of teachers being prepared to either successfully complete these test requirements, such as a praxis,
mm-hmm.
and those teachers who come right from college and go right into the classroom and spend 4, 5, 6 years in the classroom and become very competent and capable teachers, all to fall short by a test that doesn't necessarily gauge their abilities, but it's just a test requirement, in my opinion.
Right. So thank you for taking care of those grandbabies. Grandmothers are amazing resources in terms of supporting the mothers and fathers of this city. That's one of the things that makes Baltimore such a great place is that it's a real sense of community. So thank you for that. And listen, our teachers are doing some amazing work. We invest very heavily in teacher development in Baltimore City because you're right. It starts with the person who's standing in front of the child on a daily basis. And if they aren't prepared, then they aren't going to be able to do their job, and it is really about the individual teachers' expectations and standards and understanding of how to work with Baltimore's children to get them where we all want them to go. In terms of the question that you asked specifically about certifications, that's really not a challenge in Baltimore anymore. We have, I think, the number off the top of my head is about 80%. And maybe even more of our teachers have already met their certification requirements. And so we don't have a big issue of teachers teaching for 5 years and not meeting those certifications. That's something that we've been working on for a very long time. We have wonderful teachers, certified teachers. There are some cases, particularly for new teachers, first-year teachers, where they are on conditional certificates. But we work really hard, and we have great programs to make sure that teachers are certified to be able to deliver the content. The other thing that I would say to you is that their teachers – we have our teachers that teach in the classroom about around the content, but we also have teachers, quote unquote, that are more broadly defined, who are mentors, who are coaches. And a lot of times in our city, we found ways to have those teachers who aren't fully certified but have an interest in teaching children to have another place in the educational experience for our children. So the teachers in the classroom, we're doing very well in Baltimore City around making sure that our teachers are certified to do their jobs. But we also are bringing in other people who have other skill sets to also be a part of the teaching process for our children. And that, again, gets to my position that schools need to be really dynamic, multidimensional environments for children, and that there are many, many different ways and many different players that have to be at the table to do what we're wanting to do.
We only have like 2 or 3 minutes left here, but a very quick question. Is that what happened with these enrollment errors? Where the school might have to give back $2.9 million. Why did that happen? This happened a number of times over the last 7 or 8 years, not just under your administration. So what's going on here? Why do we miss those numbers and giving back that much money?
So we're not giving – where did you get that from?
Just reading the papers.
So sometimes you should
– What should I do?
Well, let's just say this, that there is no giving back of $2.9 million. That's okay. Just not what happened. There was an incident where we have to validate our enrollment with Baltimore City so that they can know what their contribution is to public education. There's a process for that. And some, you know, staff person from City Schools and Baltimore City kind of moved a little too quickly to validate that number before the final count was in. We did not base our budget on that that earlier number. Our number was actually – our budget was actually based on the validated enrollment from the Maryland State Department of Education. So we are not giving any money back, actually. The city is going to be giving us a set of resources to make sure that the books balance. It was a harmless error. Things happen. And we've worked with the city to make sure that both parties go to an independent source, the Maryland State Department of Education, to validate our enrollment in the future. And this is one of those things that's just human error, and it happens.
Miss Tisha Edwards, who is interim CEO for Baltimore City Public Schools and is vying to become the CEO for Public City Schools, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. This has been fun.
Good. It's been good. We have a lot of things to do, and we're all here to make our schools better and to help our children, which is all is what this is all about.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you so much. Good to have you all with us today. I want to remind you, if you didn't get to hear the Annapolis Summit yesterday, be there. You can go on to steinershow.org and see all the clips, the news-breaking clips, as well as the entire video of our event. And we'll also be replaying it tomorrow, for those of you who didn't hear it, on the radio, all that coming up. And thank you all for coming and making that happen. And I want to thank our friends at Nation Magazine for naming the Mark Steiner Show the most valuable show in America on radio. That was a really lovely thing that we just got. We didn't know we were getting. Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineer is Andre Melton, with a tie, sporting a tie for learning and education on his neck today. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cut. You can hear this show again, podcasts, our other shows, find information about our guests and the work that they do by going to steinershow.org. You can also listen to and download all our programs as podcasts on iTunes. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.